5 minutes after we've committed the sin. And this is the way it was here. But this man, sin had so distorted his vision and blinded his eyes that he confused the face of his friend for the face of his foe. And he confused the face of his foe, Jezebel, for the face of his friend. He regarded her as friend, she was foe. He regarded Elijah as enemy and he was friend. And this is exactly the way sin always does it. You just ask yourself, who are my real enemies? Is my conscience a real enemy? Then why do you spend so much time trying to obliterate it when you sin? Why not honor it? Let your conscience be what it ought to be. Honor it. Let it drive you to repentance and to restoration, to a right relationship afresh with the one who died to keep that conscience quick and active and live and keen and clean before God. Your conscience is not an enemy. It's a friend when it's active. Are the disciplines of life your enemy? No, they're your friend. Dispensed from the hand of God, dispatched from heaven, in order to draw you up to let you look God in the face. And yet these disciplines of life we so often run from as if they were the veritable plague, ascending from hell or descending from a judgmental God upon us. Is some sharp sorrow that reminds you of the outcome of sin, is that your enemy? No, that's your friend. And yet sin will always confuse you and have you to think of your foe as your friend and your friend as your foe, so that you become thoroughly and totally blinded by the touch of sin over your eyes. So you see here the confusion that sin produces. And finally, you see the consequences. It's quite evident when you read this story that blood is going to run in the streets of Jezreel. And it's interesting to note that from that day to this, the greatest, one of the most natural battlefields in all the world extends almost to the palace gates of the palace of King Ahab. I remember when we went there, down there at Megiddo, where the last great battle is going to be fought, and the Bible says blood will run to the bridles of the horses. Napoleon called it the only really natural battlefield he had ever seen. It stretches for miles. When you stand on the little mount, little tell of Megiddo, down there to the left is the Mediterranean Sea. Up there is Mount Carmel, where Elijah had his great hour with Israel and with God, and fire rained down from heaven. Spreading down here is a battlefield, a valley, a level valley on the far side, the Gilboa Mountain Range. Behind you, the Carmel Mountain Range. And here it is, and there's where the battle is going to be fought. Stretching up to the gate of the palace of King Ahab at Jezreel. And right there on that spot, the Jews have been haunted and blood has been let more than at any other spot in world history. And it all dates back to this one time right here when Elijah talked about blood running in Jezreel. Dogs will lick up the blood of those who in the judgment of God flaunted him in selfishness, and he had to respond. He could not allow it to go on. When a man butts heads with God, he comes out the loser. Always the consequences of sin. Jezebel died violently. Ahab died violently. The house of Ahab was eradicated violently from Israel so that not a son or a daughter, a child was left of the house of Ahab, the man who made Israel to sin. And this is the way sin always does. What does it get back to? It gets back to that festering selfishness in me that always clamors for a hearing, that desires the throne, that looks for an opening, an aperture, somewhere where I can ascend to the throne, take over, assert my self-will, push everybody else aside and trample on them. This is my selfishness. This is my sin. This is my hell. And this is what this chapter is about. But thank God we don't have to stop there. We need to take a New Testament in our hands. Part the veil of history and leap back onto the stage there and say, oh, I wish you would wait and let me have a moment with you. Because there has come somebody as heaven's response to your selfishness, who stepped onto the stage garbed in your flesh, in your bone, who gave His life's blood, spread-eagled on an awful cross in violent death between heaven and earth in order that you might not continue bound up in the cords entwined of your own selfishness. He came to relieve you, to release you, to absorb your selfishness and sin into Himself, to die for it and take it away that you might be free, that you might be free. This is God's cure. His name is Jesus. He's paid the price for your selfishness. That's what put Him on that cross. He wants to take your sin away, relieve you of it, and then replace your selfishness on the inside of you with His own dying life, His own living death, His own resurrection power and presence to give you God's eternal life. We want to ask you to come to grips with Jesus tonight, to let Him have His own way in your heart and in your life. May I ask you again just to stand to your feet and bow your heads and be so gracious as to kind as to close your eyes and be in a spirit of prayer in these moments. There's not a person here who doesn't at one time or another struggle with the intense selfishness that the Bible calls sin. And God's Holy Spirit works to remove us out of that, to let Jesus ascend the throne and take over in the stead of our self-will and let Him inhabit and govern our lives. Who's on the throne in my life? Me or Jesus? Who's on the throne in your life? You or Jesus? Now, if you are and you want to know the outcome, it may not look like this now, but you can read your story in 1 Kings 21. It always comes out like that. Nobody has ever survived sin, and selfishness is what sin is. The Holy Spirit speaks to call you to Jesus. Would you come to grips with Him? Let Him have His way in your heart, in your life. This evening, the choir sings, whatever God puts in your heart to do, to trust Jesus as your Savior, to open your life to Him, renounce your right to yourself, repent of your sins, receive Him by faith within, and then to do whatever else He puts in your heart to do. Come and come quickly and do it just now. Do it publicly. The prayer rail is open for anybody who'd like to come and kneel to pray. Let Christ have His way in your life. The choir sings, you come.